While you turn him there, let's really be much in prayer for about the petition they're trying to get signed up here to stop the vote on the moonshine uptown. And we need to pray about that, pray that it's God's will. We know it is, that His will be done. About that, and also the school, our county school board, passed a move, I guess you'd call it, Monday or Tuesday night, that it covered a lot of things. And one of the things is including stopping the Gideons from distributing Bibles in the school. I'm sure most of you saw it, heard about it, read it in the paper, whatever. And a lot of people are really upset about it and wanting to know what to do about it. And the best thing you can do, as far as I know right now, a lot of people have asked, is show up at the next school board meeting. If enough people could show up to help, it'd help. And also call or write the school board. Only one man voted in favor of keeping it like it is, and the rest voted against it. So a lot of people have asked about that, so I mention it tonight so you'll be praying about. And if somebody gets something organized, we'll see what we can do about getting in on it to help out and do what we can. Psalm 23. Everybody follow along with me in reading these words tonight. And I'm going to take each one of these verses, one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible, one of the greatest pieces of literature in the world that's ever been known to man, is these words I'm getting ready to read. These words were not written by an atheist. These words were not written by some old sinful man. The greatest literary masterpiece in the world were written by Christians, God's people. David wrote these words. David, the man of God. David, the man after God's own heart. David, the man who saw after God as waters and a thirsty soul, wrote these words under inspiration and been used to bless millions of people. And I want to try to take each verse on Sunday night, one verse each Sunday night for six Sunday nights, and preach from these scriptures. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You tonight for reading the Word of God. Lord, we thank You tonight, Father, that You are our shepherd. Lord, we're so glad to know that we've got a mansion, heart and a crown over our next city. God, I'm so glad to know that we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. God, I thank You, Lord, for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have felt here tonight. Thank You for the singing. Thank You, God, for the testimonies, the prayers, the offering. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for everything You've done to us and for us and through us. God, we thank You, Lord, for blessing us tonight with Your presence. Father, we pray now as we come to this time, God, that You would illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, anoint these lips of clay. God, You know that I'm a failure in myself. God, You know that I'm not able, God, to say what needs to be said here tonight unless You help me. So I'm praying, God, that You would help us tonight. I pray, O God, that these words, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord. God, I pray that these truths will grab a hold of the hearts of men and women here tonight, boys and girls, and bring comfort to them, bring assurance and blessing in these days. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you tonight on the first verse of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, you can close your Bibles there if you want to, unless you want to take some notes.
But this psalm is, like I said a while ago, one of the greatest pieces of literature that's ever been on the face of God's earth. Written by David, God's man, a shepherd himself. He knew what it was like to be a shepherd. Somebody said that this was David's hymn of praise to divine diligence. I read that book that old Philip Keller wrote, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and it opened my eyes as to why God, all the way through the Bible, compares us to sheep and him to the shepherd. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there are so many comparisons to us and sheep, it ain't even funny. And God is the Lord is the great shepherd. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So when God wants to compare his relationship to us, he points to a shepherd with a flock of sheep and compares his relationship to us with that shepherd and with his sheep. Now tonight, I want to take just verse 1 tonight. No, Lord, just verse 1, and give you the introduction, and then I want to preach on, phrase, sentence by sentence, this psalm. The first one will be, the Lord is my shepherd. The second point will be, I shall not want. The Lord is always comparing himself to a good shepherd. Now, David was a shepherd himself, shepherd boy. Before he ever joined the army and killed Goliath, ran from Saul, became king of Israel, David kept sheep on a hillside. Now, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I begin to imagine, and imagine in my mind, what made and what the condition was that David wrote this psalm under. I can picture him in my mind out there one night, and it was late out on an old Judean hillside. And he's out there that night, and he looked up and he saw the stars and the moon, and it was just as quiet. You could have heard maybe a hoot owl off out in the woods somewhere, or maybe a whippoorwill or something, and maybe everything else was just as quiet as it could be. No cars, no airplanes, no trains are whizzing by, but just an old shepherd boy out on the hillside. He had his rod and his staff. He had his parchments that he'd done his writing on. He didn't even have a radio or a tape player. He just had the old shirt with our brother, and he sat there on the side of the hillside. I believe he looked off down yonder on the hillside, and he saw that little flock of sheep that he was in charge of. And he said, there they are. There's my little flock. And they bedded down for the night. And they laid down there, boy, and their eyes was closed, and it was a cool night, and the breeze was blowing softly, and the stars, man, just as bright, and the moon up in the sky. And David began to look at them sheep, and then he began to think. And he said, I'm a-watching them, and they don't even know I'm a-watching them. They're sound asleep, and yet my eye is on them. And if a bear was to come out of the woods and try to get one of them, I'd be on that thing before he could say pollywog. And he said, if a lion tried to get them, I'd stop him too. And he began to think about, how that he was the shepherd of those sheep. And he began to think about how that he watched those sheep. And then I believe he kind of looked up to the sky and he said, bless the Lord, I am one of his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd and I'm one of his sheep. And did you know tonight, every one of us who are saved are one of God's little sheep, and he's our shepherd, and he watches us every day and every hour. There's been some times when I couldn't see him, but there's never been a time when he could not see me. I remember this lady stood up and gave a testimony at church one night, and she stood up and she talked about how that God watched over us. And she said she's in her living room, and she's sitting there doing some ironing or sewing or something, sitting in a chair, and her little old girl was about 3 years old, was out in the yard playing. And she said the screen door was about half open, and the screen door had a glass on it. And her little girl was over here in the yard playing, and she was sitting in here in the living room. And she said she could look in that screen door and see the reflection of her little girl out there playing. And every few minutes she'd just look up, and check on her. And every few minutes she'd look up and check on her. Now her little girl was out there, she couldn't see Mama. but Mama could see her. And if something would have happened, she'd have fell or got hurt, her Mama would have been to her rescue in no time flat. And I thought about how that's the way God is. The Lord, sometimes we can't see God, folks. And sometimes we can't see Him. But His eye is always on us. And He always watches us. And that's why I'm glad to say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd tonight? I hope it's the Lord. If it ain't, it's that old cruel taskmaster Satan. And he rules your life and guides your prayers and controls your mind and body and spirit. And I'm glad to say with David tonight that the Lord is my shepherd. There's been some times in this life when I felt like I couldn't see God. There's been some times since I've been saved that I thought, Lord, what in the world are you putting me through? God, I can't see nothing. I can't feel nothing. I can't hear nothing. I could read the Bible and it'd be dead. I could pray and it seemed like I couldn't even keep my thoughts on what I was saying. And brother, there's always been times like that, but there never has been a time when His eye was an inch off of me. Never has been a time when God wasn't watching over us. And it really, that's all that's important tonight. Sometimes you can't see God, but He can always see you. And David began to see that. And David began to realize that. And he said, hallelujah, I'm so thankful to be one of God's sheep. Now let's take that first phrase tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. That implies a perfect Savior. Did you know that? Who is the Lord? Really, after all, is He my shepherd? Is He? Who is the Lord? I'm glad David had it right. He wasn't talking about an idol of stone that men had set up who worshiped with men's hands and who had to pick them up and carry them around. David wasn't talking about an idol. He knew what God he was talking about. He knew what Lord he meant. He meant Jehovah God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created the world and put the planets here and the stars here. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's creator and owner of this universe. I tell you, brother, and David's proud to have Him as his shepherd. Did you know you ought to be proud to have the Lord as your shepherd? Because He is creator and owner of the entire universe. David's not speaking as a shepherd here, but as a sheep. One of the flock. And he looks at him and he says, look who my shepherd is. See, David was a shepherd himself. And he knew that a lot of the sheep's welfare and happiness and health depended on what kind of shepherd they had. And he said, if the happiness of the sheep and the contentment of the sheep and the welfare of the sheep depend upon what kind of shepherd they've got, I sure am in good shape because the Lord is my shepherd. Now listen, if the Lord's your shepherd tonight, brother, you can shout about it. Look at who my shepherd is. He's my owner. He's the master. He's the Lord. He knew from experience that that was important. He looked up at the stars. Now, they've told us recently that there are 250 million times 250 million stars in the sky that we can see. The earth is a tiny little speck in outer space. As a matter of fact, if you took the most powerful telescope on planet Earth, they got some big ones too. Some of them things look like they're about as long as this auditorium. Man, you can see millions of miles. And they said if you took the most powerful telescope on Earth and somehow you could transport it to the nearest star, which is Alpha Centauri, something like that, and you could take the most powerful telescope on Earth and transport it to the nearest star, not the furthest, the nearest one, and put it up there and turn it around and point it back towards Earth, that you could look through it and you could not even see planet Earth. It wouldn't even show up. Now, I'll tell you something, brother. That's a big universe we're living in. God made all of that. And God put our neighbor so close to us. I know about as far as stars are concerned. Most of them bigger than the sun. Some of them stars you look at out there at night, them things might have burned out 5 years ago and you don't even know it yet. That's right. Because you keep seeing that light. It's getting here, it's getting here, it's getting here, it's getting here. And the speed of light, some of them burned out maybe 10 years ago. And we don't even know it yet because that light's still getting to us. And light travels 186,000 miles a second, man. God, who is our shepherd, He made the whole shebang. You think about that tonight. Well, I mean, we ain't got some little old pitiful looking little old God carved out with somebody's hands, you know, setting up in a man-made temple somewhere. Bless their heart, if you used to knock them over, some man would have to get them up and set them back up in their place. What a pitiful God. I'd hate to have a God that I bowed down to and I could touch and I had to carve Him out and make Him. Brother, the Bible said they have ears, but they hear not. Mouths have they, but they speak not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Mouths have they, but they speak not. And here's a rebuke. It said they that make them are likened to them. The only thing that's dumber than an idol is a dummy that made it. Amen. That's right, friend. I'd sure hate to have a God that I said, oh, you know, bowed down to something, you know, and come in and polish it up and make sure it didn't get no dust on it and keep it over, you know, in my bedroom somewhere. Them little old Buddha thing make me sick. I was in a house one day and they had an old Buddha. Buddha looked like a pregnant frog sitting over here on a big thing over there and his belly sticking way out there like this. And his jaws are hanging way down here like a bulldog. And people actually worship that. I wouldn't have a God that I had to pick it up and carry it around. I'd want one that can pick me up and carry me around. I'd want one, brother, can lift me up and plant my feet on higher ground. And you know who that is? The Lord is my shepherd, brother. I tell you what He can do. He's just like the lion in the jungle, son. They said, where's the lion sleep? And the answer is, anywhere he wants to. And that's the way our shepherd is, brother. You know what he does? Anything he well pleases to do. That's what our shepherd does. I'm proud to say tonight that the Lord is my shepherd. Brother, you think about that. I remember this old shepherd here that I read about. He said, I never will forget them first 30 little lambs that I bought. The man that wrote this book, many of you have read it. He was a shepherd. Over in the mountains, over across the ocean in the mountains, a real shepherd. He said, I never will forget them first little 30 ewe lambs that I bought. And he said, I bought me them little lambs. And he said, I looked at them that day. And boy, he said, there was a strange feeling come over me. And he said, I took with pride and with joy that they were mine. And he got that little flock out there. Can you imagine if he was a little shepherd boy, lived over yonder back in the old days? And boy, the Lord somehow or another worked it out. You worked and you sweat and you shed your blood and bought them 30 little lambs. Now listen now. He laid down his life for them things. He worked for them. He paid for them. And brother, he bought them little old lambs. And he brought them down there and there's 30 of them. I imagine he took with pride. He put them all in a little place like that. And he's like my daddy. He sat up and looked at them till 12 o'clock at night. That's when you know a man's proud of something. I remember daddy when we was little, we'd pour a cement walk around the house. He'd smooth that stuff. He'd rub it and 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 rub it. He'd have it fine and then just keep rubbing it and mess it up. And he'd rub it some more and 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 rub it some more. And then at 12 o'clock that night, he'd have a flashlight or a porch light on, and he'd just be sitting out there looking at it. And Mom would say, get in here, it's time to go to bed. And he'd say, well, I'll be in a minute. And he'd sit there and just look and look. I imagine that's the way this shepherd was when he first got them little old sheep, boy. He set them little things in there, and he put them in that little corral. He's so proud of them. He was so thankful for them. And, brother, he knew each one of them. And, brother, we ought to be thankful tonight. You know what this is? This is a little old corral here, and we're a little flock of sheep. And you know who our shepherd is? Do you know who our shepherd is? Listen, folks, the Lord is our shepherd. And, brother, He is not ashamed to be called our shepherd. We ought not to be ashamed to be called one of His sheep. And he said, when I first got them little sheep, I was sitting out there on the fence on the corral that day, and my friend turned to me and handed me his sharp knife and said, here, you know what you've got to do. And he said, I did know what I had to do. He said, I had to do something very painful for me and the sheep. I had to put my mark on every one of them. He got each one of them one at a time. He put their little sheep up there, and every shepherd has got his own distinctive mark. It ain't like no other shepherd. And he put that little lamb's ear on there, and he cut it. Maybe it'd be like a V, or like an X, or like an R, or like a T, or maybe it'd just be a straight mark. And he put that thing down there. Now listen, be quiet, folks. No talking back there. He put that little sheep ear down there and put his mark on it. And you know what that meant? That meant he is the owner of that sheep from then on. That sheep belonged to him. That sheep belonged to him. And brother, he could spot one of his sheep at a distance. And he said, there's one of mine. There's one of mine. There's one of mine. And you know what the first thing the Lord does to you when he saves you? He hauls you up here, brother, and puts his mark on you. And God puts his mark on you the second you get saved. And you belong to him from then on. You are one of his sheep. You belong to him. He's your owner. There's a perfect picture of that in the Old Testament. Where if a slave served a man, and every 50 years they had the year of Jubilee. They have 7 times 7, that'd be 49 years, and then on the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. Son, when the year of Jubilee comes, everybody who owed anybody any debts, you just forgot about it. All the slaves got set free. It's just a whoop-de-doo time when everybody just forgot everything and started all over again. Boy, it'd be good if they'd done that now, wouldn't it? I'd wait till the 49th year and then go buy me a brand new house. But that's why the Lord don't let us do that nowadays. We're so low down and schemish and conniving, he can't trust us with anything. Anyway, they had that year of Jubilee when they'd set you free. Now, a man may have been a man's slave for 20 years. Then the day come when he got set free. He said, all right, you're free. Now, suppose that slave didn't want to be set free. Suppose he loved his master. Suppose he wanted to serve his master. You know what he done? He turned around and said, I appreciate my freedom, but I'd rather live with you and serve you than go out there and have my freedom. He said, if a slave said that, you say, all right, come here. And you take his ear and bore a hole through it on the wooden block. And he said, that was a sign of that slave belonged to you. And nothing could ever change it then. Jubilee or no jubilee. Money or no money. He was yours forever. That servant always belonged to that man. And brother, that's how we should do the Lord. You know what the Lord does for you? When he saves you, he sets you free. God sets you free right here. Do you know what we ought to do? We ought to turn around and say, Lord, I know you've set me free, and I love you so much, I want to serve you every day, and let him put his mark on us, and we belong to him forever. You know what the mark is, brother, that we need to have on us? The mark of the cross. The mark of being accounted with the children of God. A marked life. Listen, if you don't think you're marked tonight, you've got another thing coming. When they find out you're a Christian boy, they'll watch you, your mark. They'll watch everything you do. Listen to every word you say, trying to find something wrong with you. You're a marked sheep tonight because the Lord is your shepherd. Do you really belong to him? Are you under his control? Let's look at the second part of that first verse tonight. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. What does that mean? What does I shall not want mean here in this scripture? You say it mean what it says? Yeah, it means what it says. But what does it mean to say? What is it saying? Let me say, first of all, that there's a lot of false teaching going on nowadays. That you belong to the Lord, that you're going to get rich, and that you're going to drive a fancy car. You listen to the radio and you listen to some preachers, and they'll tell you that if you're right with God, you'll never get sick, you'll never have to wind up owing anybody, that you're supposed to prosper and live in a brand new house and drive a Cadillac. They say, the Lord's your shepherd, you shall not want anything you want, he'll give it to you. Let me say tonight, that is not what this verse is saying. You say, how do you know? David himself suffered poverty. David lived in caves. David had hardship. David knew what it was to be poverty stricken. David knew what it was to run for his life. David knew what it was to lay down in a cold rock bed at night and, brother, not have anything to eat. David wasn't saying here, if the Lord's your shepherd, that he'll stick stakes in your mouth every day and you'll drive a Cadillac and you won't ever get sick and everything you ask God, he'll jump and do it. No, that wasn't what he was saying. David wasn't saying that at all. It wasn't what he was saying. Listen, folks. You better get the right slant on this thing. Being a Christian does not mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. Some people got the idea, well, I'm right with God now. Lord, I ain't going to let nothing bad happen to me. You're just kidding yourself. There's liable to be all kinds of bad things happening to you. Just because you're a Christian does not mean you're immune from trouble or sickness or sorrow or heartbreak. Matter of fact, you might as well brace yourself. Because it's coming your way. But it does mean that you will never have to want for a companion to be with you through the trouble. And you'll never have to want for guidance through the trouble. And you'll never have to want for blessing through the trouble. You see, it all boils down to this. Since I'm saved don't mean I'll never have no trouble. But bless the Lord, it does mean that I'll never have to face nothing without my shepherd with me. Proper care and management, that's what it means. He said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what he meant? I shall not want for a shepherd. You'll always have one. You'll always have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber or not sleep. David said there'll never be a time when he goes to sleep and he won't be there. There'll never be a time when he's gone off on a vacation and I can't find him. There'll never be a time maybe when he's sitting in the hospital and can't forgive my sins. Listen, if your shepherd is the Pope, or your shepherd is a priest, you're liable to be up a creek, brother. I tell you, you're liable to hunt them and can't find them. They're liable to be out sounding drunk somewhere. But I'm glad to know if the Lord's your shepherd, he's always there for you to call on. Day or night, he's always there. I shall not want for proper care and management. David here knew again that the welfare of the flock depends upon the manager. This old preacher, this old brother that I read about said, time after time, he looked over here into the neighbor's sheepfold, and he said, right beside him, there's a man had a little flock over here. And he looked over there, and he said, that man didn't take care of his garden. He didn't take care of his pasture. And there wasn't no grass in it, just old mud, dried up bones and roots. And he said he never saw such a sickly, pathetic looking bunch of little old sheep. He said they'd stand there bunched up in a little old huddle and shiver. And they'd gnaw around on roots trying to find something to eat. And he said they looked so pitiful standing there at the fence and bleating and looking out, wanting something to eat. Brother, he thought about that. He said every time he looked at them pitiful, skinny little old undernourished sheep, he thought that's the way men, women, boys, and girls are in the world tonight, bound up in sin by the devil. The devil's that old cruel taskmaster. He said that old man next door to him, he didn't care whether the sheep eat or not. He couldn't care less. He didn't feed them. He just said, oh, they ain't nothing but sheep ready for the slaughter. He said, I'll just let them make out the best they can. He went ahead and done what he wanted to. That's the way the devil is. He don't care about you. He don't care whether you're happy or not. If you live for the devil, he'll just leave you out there and he'll say, oh, I'm just waiting to take them to the slaughter. Hey, that's, I ain't fit for nothing. I don't care anything about them. But he said, I took my sheep and I tilled the ground and I made sure they had green pastures to feed in. And he said, because of that, my sheep were happy and healthy and they were free from parasites and bugs that bothered them. And he said, brother, if that's the way it is, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll never have to want. I'll never have to stand over there and look through an old fence bleating and wanting something for my soul. I'll never have to stand there, brother, and say, oh, I wish I could have peace. I wish I could have happiness. I wish I could have contentment. He said, the Lord's my shepherd. I'll never have to want for satisfaction. I'll never have to want for food. I've got it right here. Oh, the Word of God. I'll never have to want for companionship. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'll never have to want for joy. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. I'll never have to want for a place to live. Here I live, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Brother, he said, I looked over there at them old pitiful sheep, and I thought how pitiful it'd be to be like one of them. Now listen, folks. Most people tonight are greedy and covetous and never satisfied. You know that. You know how come Christian people are happier than people that ain't saved? Them people that ain't saved out there, they will not want. Now listen, our shepherd's good pleasure is to give us what we need. Well contented, well fed and flourishing. Listen, we're just like a little flock of sheep here in this church. I want to make sure that you are the best fed sheep in McDowell County. That's my goal. My goal? Listen, if you're going to an old pasture where you ain't getting fed, you need to change pastures. That's right. If you're going to a church where you never hear nothing, but God bless you and everything's well and pat you on the back and a little sermonette, if you're going to, you know what you ought to do? You'll dry up in a pasture like that. You ain't going to get no food. You won't be a healthy, you won't be a happy, you won't be a satisfied Christian. You know what my job is here? It's to get the food from the shepherd and put it out on the table so the sheep can eat, brother. And if you want to come and eat, hallelujah, spread the table so you can just feed your soul and be healthy Christians. Everywhere I go, I run into little old anemic Christians. They're saved. If they don't know enough scripture to quote their way out of a paper bag. You know why? They never heard it. You know why they never heard it? Because some of God's men, under shepherds, ain't doing their job. He delights in his flock. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's acquainted with their needs day and night. This old boy here, and I'm going to close with this story here that I'm going to tell you in a minute. He said he had one sheep in his flock. Now listen, I love you, listen. He had one sheep in his flock causing some trouble. And he said this was a female sheep, you might have known. And she was the most, listen now, she was the most beautiful sheep in the whole flock. He said her bones were just right. She was healthy, strong. She had eyes that were just set, just perfect, clean, wool, alert, bright eyes. He said she would bring forth some lambs that was healthy and matured quicker than all the rest of the sheep. And he said that was the most beautiful sheep he had. But she, that one sheep, caused him more problems and all the rest of the sheep put together. You say, what? How come? Because she was a picture of a carnal Christian. He said that sheep, and he began to call her, he nicknamed her Miss Gadabout. What he called her? This is a smart man, too. He's a scientist, a lay pastor. He said Miss Gadabout, listen now, folks, was never satisfied. No matter what green pasture he put the sheep in, he said she would go right up to the fence. And she would put her nose around the bottom of the fence. And she'd always be looking out there. And it might be old dried up bones and roots out there, but she wanted to get out there. Miss Gadabout could not stand the thought of being fenced in. She couldn't stand it. He called her a fence straddler. She wanted to go out. After she got out, she wanted to come back in. He said she always, the grass looked greener to her on the other side. And he said she'd root around, snort around, snoop around, till she found a hole big enough, and she'd go out. And almost every day, he'd have to go out the fence and round her up, you know, catch her, and bring her back in here and put her in back with the rest of the flock. She could not stand the thought being fenced in. Listen, church members. She had it made. She had it made. She had the best pasture in town. She could feed there and eat, brother, and she could have all she wanted. But she wasn't satisfied. She didn't like being fenced. And just as sure as I'm standing here in this pulpit tonight, there's some church members just like that. You ought to be happy tonight. But you ain't. You're so carnal and so worldly that you can't stand the thoughts of being fenced in. You can't stand having to live up to them rules, can you? I mean, you just can't stand dressing right.
You just can't stand talking. You feel like you're fenced in. You want to break out. Do what you want to do. Live your own life. Listen, listen, listen. It's terrible out there. You've got a good pastor to feed in. You've got everything a person ought to want. If you got out there, you'd be miserable tonight. Old Miss Gadabout, she had a problem. She said, I want out. I want out. What's the matter, Miss Gadabout? The grass no good? Yeah, the grass is delicious. What's the matter with you? Oh, I don't know. Just want to try something different. Miss Gadabout said, I want out. I want out. I want out. And it was bad enough like that, but that led to another problem. Her little lambs began to follow her. And boy, when she'd get out, they'd go out. And the next day when the shepherd would go out to get Miss Gadabout, round her up, she'd have to round up all her lambs. And that was pretty bad, too. But it wasn't long until some of the other sheep began to follow her out. Put a fence. She wanted out. She didn't want to live by the rules. She didn't want to stay in the fence. She said, I want to be free. I want to be my own person, do my own thing. I'm tired of being fenced. When she didn't realize she had it made the whole time. And boy, he took that, and he took that, and he took that. And he took it, so he couldn't take it no more. He got sick and tired of it. And he realized one day that something had to be done. He didn't want to do it. But rather than let her ruin the rest of the flock, he took his butcher knife one day and got Miss Gadabout and butchered her. The most beautiful sheep in the flock. And brother, if you are a carnal Christian, wanting to break out and do your own thing, live your own life, you don't want to go by the rules, you don't want to act right, you don't want to stay in the fence, if you keep fooling around like that, God is liable to butcher you to keep you from spoiling the rest of the flock. There's some men in here tonight. I didn't plan on saying this. I'm going to say it anyway, and I ain't going to apologize for it. There's some men in here tonight that's on dangerous ground. You know why? Because you started out doing good. You started out being dedicated. You were faithful. You'd come on Wednesday night. You'd visit. You know what you tried to do? You go out there and pants. That's pretty bad. But other people, young Christians who had confidence in you, followed you. There's some women in here tonight. Some women that I love dearly, but I wouldn't trade places with you for nothing. Some of you women in here tonight have been the cause of hurting this whole church. But how come? The way you dress, for one thing. You dress wrong? You say, well, it's my business. I'm breaking out of the fence. I'll do my own thing. Listen here, hussy. It ain't going to be long to them little girls. They're going to say, if she can do it, she's a preacher's wife, she's a deacon's wife, I'm going to do like she does. God's liable to butcher you, keep you from spoiling the rest of the church. See, he let Miss Gadabout get out. She wanted to get out, that's her business. Time comes when he had to butcher. I believe that some Christians went to an early grave and God killed them because they wouldn't be right. Guarantee it. You say, well, preacher, it's my business how I dress. Yeah, it is. As long as you're at home with your husband. You ought to, hey, listen, ladies. You ought to have at least enough decency about you to dress right when you're out in public at the church and that town. I mean, that's the least you can do. That's the least you can do. You tell me you can't. You're a liar. You're a liar. If you go out from under the fence, it won't be long. Some of them be following. And then the first thing you know, it don't matter what the preacher says. Well, she does it. I'm going to do it. And they're going out under the fence just as fast as they can go. And one day the shepherd's going to say, I've had it. I've had it. She's led enough astray. I'm tired of Miss Gadabout going out under the fence. Whack her off. You say, I don't believe God to do that. Yeah, you're just the kind he'll get, too. I believe he'll do it. It scares me tonight. If it scared me to think I was leading y'all astray, I know God cut me off on the way home tonight, if it pleased God. Boy, she caused a problem, and he got rid of it. She had to go. That's why it's a dangerous thing. If you're one of the Lord's sheep, you ought to be content with what God's given you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shall not want for what, preacher? I'll never have to want for a shepherd. He's always God. Let's bow our heads in the Lord's name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you a question first tonight. Number one, are you one of the Lord's sheep? That's what you need to ask first. You need to ask, are you one of the Lord's sheep? You may be a goat. Sheep and goat don't get along too good. If you get along better with goats than you do sheep, you might be a goat. Or either a backslidden sheep. I love you tonight. You know what you ought to do? You ought to be content with the pasture that God's put you in. And say, Lord, I want to feed here. You get that rebelliousness out of you. Say, glory to God, I'm thankful for the Lord being my shepherd. Brother Johnny, you come. We're going to stand and sing a verse of a song tonight. God spoke to your heart. We're going to pray. If the Lord has spoke to you tonight, you need to come to this altar. We'll give you a chance to come. Father, I'm so glad and thankful tonight that you are our shepherd. Because of that, we'll never have to want for a shepherd. Hallelujah. Lord, we know we may go broke, we may get hungry, we may be cold, but we'll never have to worry about a shepherd. Because you're it. We shall not want. God, it seems like you've dealt tonight with maybe a Christian who's straddling the fence. And every chance they get out, every time they get a chance, they run under the fence, maybe leading others astray. I pray you'd speak to them. I pray, oh God, you'd speak to them tonight. Lord, help them to be, look around and see that there ain't nothing out there. The grass is not greener on the other side. But happiness is knowing you and obeying you and doing what you want them to do. Oh God, take this message. Somehow use our efforts for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I stand in faith.
Page 65. 65. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.